Greetings to each one and greetings in the name of Jesus. I enjoyed that devotional very much. And my mind went right away to the Colossians 4:6 when Brother Arnold said about the coffee having the cream and sugar with it. I think of that speech with grace seasoned with salt and a pleasant thing. Well, the topic, putting off procrastination, and anyhow, we've got to get things out of the way first. There's two problems, at least two problems with this tonight, and I'll just tell you right off, and that is, I wish you didn't know me, and I wish that I didn't know you. I wish we were complete strangers. Furthermore, it bothers me that the very people that I grew up with, some are sitting here and know me as well. Anyhow, we're going to look into God's Word, and a number of years ago, I hope I didn't say this before here, but a number of years ago, Brother Sim made this statement in my hearing, and he said, you cannot take the people you're preaching to where you have not been yourself. And so, I have not been here myself. And by the time the evening is over, I may put all of you in the box of procrastinators. I'm sorry. But we'll see where we go from here. Procrastination is to put off intentionally or habitually or to delay. And I think we're probably all thinking of the same thing. So simply put, the title is Putting Off, Putting Off. I don't know if the committee was into puns or not, but we're not going to look at it that way. We're actually going to look at it in the Bible way of putting off. When you think about putting off something, it's something that apparently you put on at some point. So we're just going to focus on putting off just for two scriptures. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. These are familiar verses. They don't use the word procrastination. In fact, it's not even found in the Bible. But we will be looking at some synonyms of procrastination. Colossians 3, verses 8 to 10. This has the words put off. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So I want us to understand that put off means, or put away means to cast off. Or you cast it away. So what we're going to focus tonight is trying to work at the idealistically work at putting away or casting off procrastination. Turn over a few pages to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 1. Wherefore, this is harking back to chapter 11, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The words I want us to see here is let us lay aside. It's the exact same Greek word as put off. It's the same as put off. Now, in the verses in Colossians, it was saying put off anger, wrath, malice. Those are things that we understand that are wicked things. They're evil. It's wrong. So my question is procrastination actually sin? Or is procrastination, could it be just an expression of a personality and not actually sin? I think we're going to try and answer some of these questions as we go along tonight. I believe that all man is born with a tendency to procrastinate to some degree. And some of us, I think, carry a much larger set of baggage in this area than others. And I think some of it is personality related. Let's think of it just a little bit this way. I think it's a little bit like negative thought patterns. We all need to deal with negative thought patterns, but some people have a tendency to slip and run in the rut of negative thought patterns than others do. We may say they're a pessimist, and others are optimists. A pessimist may say they are actually a realist. I've had them tell me that. But they struggle with dealing with negative thought patterns and trying to bring more positive things into their thoughts. Positive, and I'm not just talking positive, I'm talking right thoughts. Life is built out of blocks of time. I did not write down the quote that Ben Franklin said, but Ben Franklin said something about a quote about time and how we should not waste it because we won't have time to live over again. And a procrastinator wastes much time that can never be recovered. I'd like you to, or if you care to, turn to Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. This tells us just how serious it is. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We often read that verse and just see the first half. You know, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And we stop there. But I believe the point that Solomon was trying to drive home is seize the opportunity and do it. Because all too soon, we're going to get to the grave and there's no, what does it say? There's no work, no device, no knowledge, there's no wisdom. There's nothing there in the grave. Your time is spent. It's over. You've lived your life. You cannot relive it. So what you find to do, do it with your might today. And that's the message I want to hear, and I want all procrastinators to hear tonight. So time was created by God. Therefore, procrastination robs the gift of God. I'd like to give you two examples. Before we move to this area, I worked a number of years selling dairy supplies onto dairy farms, and so I was on the farms every 3 weeks, so I got to see farmers and farms regularly, and I like to observe people. So let me tell you about Frank. I think his name's Frank. I was filling in for another area, and I didn't get into Frank's farm longer than about a year and a half. But anyhow, let me tell you about Frank. Frank planted corn, and I think there's enough farmers here or enough closely related to farming that you will understand this. Frank intended to plant corn in good time. But generally, Frank's corn got planted between July the 1st and July the 15th. Now, we know that that's a little on the late side. And he would chop his corn silage, and it was late October till Frank was chopping corn silage. But you know, one thing that was interesting about him, he had all the correct answers about farming and how to do it right. And he was especially ready to talk about the government and what they were doing wrong and how they should be doing things differently. When I would go to Frank's farm, it worked out I was there in the morning because of where he lived from our house and where I started my day. And I had to make sure that I didn't get to the farm much before 8 o'clock. He didn't live on the farm. His son lived on the farm, and he lived elsewhere. But if I got there much before 8 o'clock, he hadn't come yet to start the morning chores. We would say Frank was lazy. We'd say that Frank procrastinated. Oh, I should have taken pictures because there was equipment scattered around that were in various stages of repair. He was just the perfect, if you will, picture of procrastination. Now let me tell you about Walter. Walter was a man that was, I'm going to call him, he was fanatical about his equipment, especially his tractor. When the hour meter read 100 hours from the last oil change, it was time to change the oil in the tractor. And it didn't matter if we were in the middle of baling hay, the hay was fit, Walter would drive the tractor to the shop, the shed, and change the oil in his tractor. Now, maybe you thought Walter was a non-procrastinator when I started out about being precise about things. Walter was a procrastinator. He had a marriage that was in shambles. He was living single. I often got to his farm in the morning, and I'd go into the house to get the check. And he had a normal-sized kitchen table that was stacked. There was one small spot where Walter could sit there and eat his breakfast or his meals. Again, he knew exactly why others were not successful in farming and how things should be done differently. And within a few years, Walter needed to be sold out. Now, I could have gone on to 50 more other illustrations, but I just thought of those two as I was studying about men. Procrastination often, okay, so I'm going to tell you, I often think of procrastination as laziness. We often associate it as the same thing. But I found out more than just laziness. And so I'm going to write what I consider through study. Let me back up. I read various literature pieces, articles, and writings, some by psychologists and some by Christian men. And it was interesting to see where they agreed with each other and where they actually did not agree. So through that study and that reading, I came up with what I'm going to call the root of procrastination. And I'm just going to write it up, not because it's profound, but because I'm going to be using the word procrastinate too often already, and I don't want to keep reusing this phrase or this definition, this root. Procrastination is the result of misregulated emotions and perspective. Now, I need to clarify one thing. I could not find the word misregulated in the dictionary. Merriam-Webster.com wouldn't even give me that word. But some for Tim Pike or whatever, a psychologist, used the word in his writing. So I guess there must be a word somewhere. I could not find a word to say what I wanted to, and I'll tell you what I mean by misregulated. So this is where procrastination begins, as I understand it. And so to help us understand misregulated, if you use gas in your home or on your grill, most of us know there's a regulator. Because on the propane tank, it needs to get that pressure, whatever it is inside the tank, down to about 10 and a half to 11 inches of water column, something like that. And so it needs a regulator so that that flow becomes usable. Yeah, the vehicle you drove here has a regulator for its fuel somehow, or else the tank would drain and the engine would burn up or whatever. It takes the high pressure and regulates it so it can be used properly. So procrastination is the result of misregulated emotions and perspective. And what we simply mean by that is we procrastinate because we listen to our emotions and they're not properly regulated. We want to feel happy more than we want to be fulfilled. And that goes for other things, not just procrastination, but we're focusing on procrastination tonight. That's why we make the choices, those of us who are procrastinators, make the choices that we do because we place a higher value on happiness than being fulfilled or satisfied from a task completed. And so our emotions are misregulated. We shy away from conditions that make us feel unhappy. Misregulated emotions. A procrastinator doesn't look at the long term. He lacks vision or perspective beyond the front of his nose. And that's what I mean by he misregulated perspective. Does not have the vision. I'd use the word vision first, then I changed it to perspective. So just so we understand, procrastination is the result of misregulated emotions and perspective. Now, another quote that I found interesting, one of these articles, procrastination reflects an excessive discrepancy between work intentions and work actions. I thought that's kind of a polished up way to say procrastinator. Reflects an excessive discrepancy between work intentions and work actions. Now, I grew up in a home where I was going to say I can hear it in my sleep, but I don't, but almost, that my dad would say the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. And that's a little bit what this statement is saying as well. Procrastination is allowed to grow in the soil of a proud heart. And let me explain what I mean by that. I see pride as, in very basic terms, pride is self-worship. Pride is the worship of self. We do anything to please ourselves. And procrastination is one of the products of self-worship. When I procrastinate, I decide what is important to me. I decide things on my own terms when it comes to projects, when it comes to responsibilities, things that need to be done. We're going to look at two Old Testament examples, and then we're going to go into more of the practical areas. Genesis 19, verse 16. It's one verse, and there's many examples that we could look at, but we will not have the time. So Genesis 19 and verse 16. Verse 15 tells us this is Lot. Verse 16 says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And while he lingered, that word lingered is to hesitate or to be reluctant. Lot procrastinated. Lot was a procrastinator. Had he not been a procrastinator, he would have left Sodom a long time ago. Years before, Lot would have left. But no, he's a procrastinator. And he could just stay here. Well, we know he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He turned the door of his tent and began to do commerce with them. And he walked into that wickedness. There were consequences for Lot's procrastination. He lost his wife. Perhaps if he had left when he should have gone, he wouldn't have not have lost his wife. Even in this story, had he left a few hours before, they would have got out of there. But no, this time was urgent. We got to get out of here now. Turn over to Genesis 43. Verses 8 to 11 of Genesis 43. This is when Jacob's sons have been going down to Egypt, meeting with the ruler. They did not know who he was at this point, and the ruler had asked, Joseph had asked that they bring their younger brother. And the requests have been carried back. Now I'm going to read verses 8 to 11 of Genesis 43. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. Jacob was holding back. Israel was holding back, allowing Judah to take Benjamin along. So we see that here in verse 8, we see that the consequences were, if we don't get down, it was like saying, Father, if we don't get down to Egypt, you, our wives, our children, are going to die. And then he says in verse 10, in my own words, Dad, if you hadn't waited so long, we would already be back the second time with the food. But Jacob lingered. Jacob procrastinated. Was Jacob lazy? Was Lot lazy? That's why there's more causes for procrastination than laziness. I have 8 of them tonight, and we're going to look at laziness first. There probably are more. I think for sake of time, I won't have you turn to a lot of these scriptures. I have them printed, so I'll read them. Laziness, the first two here are the number one, what's considered the number one causes for procrastination. Remember, the root is this. than the actual cause or the outworking of this procrastination. Proverbs 6:6-11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? And when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I think we understand what the proverb writer was trying to say. Even the ants gathered food, planned for what was coming. And he told the sluggard to go and observe these ants, because there was a lesson for him to learn. I came across this statement. I think we probably have, I refreshed my memory that I've heard it before, that necessity is the mother of invention. And the statement went, if necessity is the mother of invention, then laziness is its father. And there have been lots of inventions that were invented because of lazy people. Over the last 125 years, I found it interesting that the origin of escalators was a lazy invention. I think the first escalator was back in 1890-something on Coney Island, and they got spectators, lots of them, that came just to ride this escalator. But it's because people were tired, were excited because they were lazy about going up and down the steps. TV remotes was another one that they pulled out as being a lazy invention. And we have remotes now we don't have the television, but you got a remote for your split system or your air conditioner or even the ceiling fan in your house, you have a remote now. Came about by laziness. Computers. This is obviously someone's opinion. Credit cards. The origin of the credit card was in 1949. A man was at a place, a restaurant, eating, and he did not have enough money to pay his bill. And that's when he decided, enough with this. He's got to figure out a better way. And I'm told that's where they... Don't know if there's anybody here. I don't think there's anybody here that remembers prior to 1949 to know if there was any credit cards before that. I thought it was interesting. Recliners were invented somewhere back in the 20s or 30s. And the reason we have lazy boys today is because they had done a toss-up. They had put this out. Let's name this recliner. We call them recliners today. But there was two young fellows that got tired of sitting uncomfortably in their upright chairs and thought how much nicer it would be to visit if they could just recline a little bit and they could snooze when they wanted to. So the names, it was put out there to get a name for this piece of equipment, this furniture. And Lazy Boy was one, and the other one was, I think it was Sit and Snooze. Well, Sit and Snooze lost to Lazy Boy, but it was named that for a reason. It was considered a lazy invention because we're tired of sitting up straight. Social networks was another one this article called out as well. Lazy about relationships. It's much easier to do it other ways and at my own pace and when I feel like it. We need to recognize thoughtfulness. And you need to deal with it. Bill Gates once said that he looks for a lazy person to do a difficult task because he knows that they will find the easiest way to accomplish it. Proverbs 24:30-34, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof had broken down. Can't you just see the picture? This is the field of the slothful. He wasn't tending it. He wasn't taking care of it. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I know we read that verse before, but here it is in Proverbs 24 again. If the supper dishes get left on a regular basis to the next day, you better check if you're lazy. If I have trouble rising up early in the morning enough to have my personal Bible reading, if that's when you do it, you don't have to read your Bible in the morning, but if you have trouble on a regular basis rising up early enough to read your Bible and have your personal devotions, you better evaluate yourself for laziness. Number two, the cause for procrastination is We want to avoid negative feelings. I know we already touched on that a little bit, but this one gets a little bit, I don't know if I'm probably lazy in some areas, but avoiding negative feelings. The example I have is, I know that even if I open the shed door to try and clean and organize it, it will be depressing. And so I'm just going to push it off because I'd rather not face that. That's going to give me negative feelings, and so I shy away from it. Employer, you know that you need to take care of a situation with an employee. But you know it's going to be difficult to communicate the concerns that you have, and you know that they will leave the meeting like a whipped puppy, and then you will be unhappy. And so you push it off and say, maybe tomorrow. You procrastinate because of avoiding negative feelings. Number three is lack of perspective. And I see it as placing a value on short-term rather than making longer-range choices. You know, I get excited about starting projects. I love starting projects. But I'm a rather poor finisher. I don't do well finishing, which is procrastinating. I think I have the perspective. I said I want to start it because I know what it's going to become, but then I don't finish it in a timely manner. That's a procrastinator in another form. But I have a friend who knows when a project needs to be done. He can see a project in the house that needs to be done. But he delays it because he can't see how he's going to do it, how he's going to find the time to do it. He can't see the end date when it's going to be completed. And so therefore he chooses not to start because he doesn't know he lacks perspective. I think he'd be okay if he heard me saying this tonight. So I call on us to look ahead. We got to look ahead. We're going to be talking about planning ahead, maybe in the next section, but we will hear a little bit. We got to look ahead. I'm just thinking down the lines. I guess I tend to think on the lines where I'm weakest, but think ahead on your family, for example. What needs are today? Yes, we got to look at them, but what needs do you think are going to be here in a year from now or in 5 years? Let's have perspective. A procrastinator, some lack perspective, and they only see what's right in front. You know, put a fence around that pond before the baby is even walking. Don't wait till the baby's walking or till the child falls in and say, oh, I really should have done that before. No, you lack perspective. Let's work ahead. Let's plan ahead. When it comes to parenting, fathers, get off your chair. Get away from your phone. Get out of the office and take care of the squabbling children. They're your responsibility. Nurture them. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Waiting to train them will not work. Let's get up and do it. Do the flashcards. Listen to the reading story. So now you're hearing my weak areas. Mothers, lay down the phone. Get off Pinterest. I don't know what your needs or what your issues are. Read a story to your child. They're not going to be here forever. Look, have perspective. Look ahead. Fourth one, and I think these were kind of listed in order of probably how common they are. This may have been one you thought of right away, but poor time management. And it was defined in this way, that procrastinator that has poor time management is postponing the completion of a task to the point of feeling uncomfortable about one's delay. So you push it off and push it off till you all of a sudden you're starting to feel uncomfortable that you haven't done it yet. So an example, you wait to get ready for church. You don't manage your time, wait to get ready for church until all of a sudden we ought to be leaving. We should have been leaving 5 minutes ago, and now all of a sudden we're in a rush and you're getting frustrated and impatient with the family because you didn't start soon enough. Poor time management. When I think about poor time management, I couldn't find statistics for United States, but in the UK, in the United Kingdom, there's approximately currently about 66 million people, which is United States about five times that. But on average, around 827,000 people in the UK run out of gas each year. I would say, with very few exceptions, there are some exceptions. There's times where, you know, the gas gauge doesn't work, and you're using the vehicle and didn't know it, that the gas gauge doesn't. But I'm being too harsh, but you should never run out of gas, with very few exceptions. There's just no reason. You've got a light. You've got a light that comes on. You have a gauge there the whole time. I don't know what they had back in the 30s with the Model Ts. They probably didn't have that. They probably dipped it with a stick. I don't know. The other thing an article went on to say was these people said, well, they thought they had 40 miles or 50 miles to go after the light came on, and the gauge lied to them. You know, they didn't have that much time. Plan ahead. That's poor time management if you're running out of gas on a regular basis. Our modern technology is another one that contributes to poor time management. Our modern technology and our ever-changing apps are made to feed the procrastinator, not bring him a remedy. With the exception of, a little bit later on, we're going to talk about prioritizing and making lists. With the exception of using your modern technology for that, I don't know that very little of the inventions of mankind were made to try and remedy your nature of being a procrastinator. That comes with us because we are of Adam. So I encourage you, do plan ahead. Do what I'm going to call reverse mathematics. So we know that I thought for a little bit that I would sit outside until after starting time just to see how late people come. And I knew I couldn't bring myself to do that anyhow, so we came in. But as I think about, okay, Wednesday night, something breaks down, you get home from church late. And so I don't know if you came to church late or not tonight. But it was grilled in me back before I can remember, you don't get to church late. On a Sunday evening, there's very few reasons. The baby doesn't soil itself every time when you're walking out the door to come to church, okay? So do some reverse mathematics. We want to get to church by, well, if you're not there at least 10 minutes before, you're late, is what I was brought up with. I know not all of you were here 10 minutes beforehand. I'm not condemning you because you were here before church started, but do some reverse mathematics. Well, we know it's going to take, if we're going to drive reasonably, it takes 15 minutes to get to church. So let's back things up so that we get to starting the process early enough. We have to do this at our house all the time with getting ready for bed. It is a process to get the crew ready for bed. And we have to start it way too early, according to the children, but for some reason, we just don't get around to getting to bed on time if we don't plan ahead. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, teaches that you should not decide what to put in the offering on Sunday morning. That everyone lay by him in store. And you're getting my personal opinion, but I don't believe it's wrong to give the Lord money through PayPal. But if you're doing it in the bench Sunday morning, that I believe is wrong. You did not lay by you in store. You did not plan ahead. That's just as wrong as if you whip out your wallet and say, oh, what do I have here? Oh, I have a 20 to throw in. That is pulling God down. That is pulling the command to give down to my level at my convenience and how I want to do it. You'll have time later on to beat me up on that if you wish. We plant, okay, I learned this from a man years ago. I don't know if I've learned it yet. He said it so many times in meetings. We plan best when we plan ahead. Ephesians 5, 15, and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's enough time it's going to get lost. We need to buy back, redeem the time. Number 5, causes of procrastination. This one may surprise you and it may not. And that is perfectionism. And that's waiting to do a task until I know that I will be able to do it just right. And so it gets pushed off, because I'm not going to be able to do it just right. In the last few months, we've done painting and flooring here and there at the store. And you will waste lots of time looking at paint and flooring samples for a room if it needs to be just right. There's hundreds. I'm sure you've seen those swatches or whatever they're called of paint. I'm the type, I just want to stick with something basic and forget it, because... But how many times you compare flooring and paint and you're... It needs to be perfect. Well, it doesn't need to be perfect. It's earthly. Perfectionism can run you down the road of procrastination. How many times do you rip that seam and re-rip that seam until it begins to steal valuable time, until you begin to rob God of that time? I know things got to be done right. Or in our sister's minds, they have to be done right. But perfectionism may take you down the trail of procrastination. Number six is fear of failure. I won't be good enough. It won't be good enough anyhow. Therefore, I'm not going to attempt it right now. Possibly never. Maybe I'll never attempt it. I'm going to fail in it. So why would I bring that? Okay, here we are again. Misregulated emotions. This may be what keeps you from talking to a coworker about the Lord for months. It may go months because you feel fear of failure. Something's going to go wrong. This is why I waited weeks to get back to Brother Sonny about tonight. Fear of failure. Actually, I waited until he called me back. Number seven cause for procrastination is resentment. And this is one I didn't think of. This is one I read. Since I know that it needs to be done, this task, this project, since I already know it needs to be done, and I know there's others that keep reminding me yet again and again, I'm just going to wait for my own timing to do that task. I resent being pressured and pushed to do it. I'm just going to hold off just to show who's in charge. That way they know I'm in charge of this. I will do it when I want it, when I decide to do it, and not a minute before. That's procrastination that comes born out of resentment. And the eighth one, I don't know how to do it, and it looks overwhelming, and so I'll push it off. The project should be done. You know, maybe it just looks in your mind like a ball of yarn that the cat was playing with. It's just one tangled mess. There's just no, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through it. There's just no way. So don't tackle the shed and expect to get it all cleaned up all in one day. You know, it didn't get that way in one day, probably. So my encouragement is in that project that you don't know how to do and you don't know how to get started, you don't know how you're ever, it's just overwhelming, can't do it. Or that's what you're tempted to think. Or that's what you're saying in your mind. Start with one area. Just one small area. Get that the way it belongs, the way it should be. And then move on. Maybe it's the sewing room. Maybe it's the storage room in the basement. It's just a wreck, we say. Like I said, didn't get that way in one day. Let's just start and do an area and move on. Take it in bite-sized pieces. Because then you're already dealing with these negative feelings, these emotions that don't feel good that you're tackling this task. But as you get one, I don't want to be playing on our emotions and feelings, but you do want to feel accomplished. As you get one area, you can stand back and say, okay, now that is done. And you have some satisfaction. And it gives you the encouragement to go on and tackle the next block of it. Now, how do we put off procrastination? I have five things briefly, and that is number one, desire something different. And if you don't desire something different, you're never going to start putting it off. You're just going to stay wallowing in that mire, whatever it is. If you don't want anything different, you're going to stay there. So you got to desire something different, first of all. And secondly, you got to pray for a proper perspective of your situation. Don't leave prayer out of this equation. And number three, you got to commit to the discipline it takes to maintain the change. You're going to be tempted to go right back to what you were doing, because remember, this has come to us because we are a child of Adam. It's our Adamic nature to a degree. Commit to the discipline it takes to maintain the change. Number four, prioritize. And we're going to talk about that just briefly. And number five, ask for help and accountability with somebody. Others tend to see our weaknesses sometimes, many times better than we can see them ourselves, and they can help us along. And they probably do want to help us. The Bible says in, can't give the reference now, I didn't write it down, but we're called to bear one another's burdens. But it says every man has to bear his own burden. I'm going to have to bear my own burden of procrastination and changing my course. But we can help each other. And that's called helping and accountability. So how do I prioritize? And there is a ditch to being... We're going to talk a little bit about prioritizing, just briefly. But there's a ditch to it. Whatever we do, we must not prioritize to the point where we become inflexible. Or that our cup won't have anything in it, or it's going to have the wrong thing in it when we spill it. If you have things buttoned up too tight and pinned too closely, you cannot be flexible. So how do I prioritize? And this I intend to try and put to action in my own life because I need it. And that is make a master list. This one writer, this is a Christian writer, he said he's been doing it for I don't know how many years, but he makes a master list that includes the short-term things as well as the long-term. If it's things that you want to accomplish 5 years from now, it can go on that list. But he makes a master list. And then beside them, he will affix the start times and completion times, when he wants to start it, when he wants to have it done. And maybe this is idealistic, I don't know. But then he also instructed his readers to make a weekly list. And within that weekly list, you have daily lists. And on your daily list, you should label them A. He said label them A and B. A being the high priority ones, and B for not as important. And then he said he reviews and rewrites his list every morning the next day. He rewrites it. If there's B's he didn't get done from yesterday, he has to decide, are they still B or do they become an A today? Well, it depends what it is. But he labels them A and B. And he said, his instruction was always complete the A's before going on to the B's and check off as you complete them. He said, if you begin to see yourself going for the B's rather than the A's, you're slipping back into your cycle of procrastinating because you're choosing the least resistance. You're choosing the easier things, maybe the more fun things, is all the things that make our emotions feel better, and so we want to do that instead. Well, in closing, there's much more that could be learned, I'm sure. James 4, 13 to 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But I like to understand what the writer James was saying. Our life is but a vapor. We know what a vapor is. It appears for a little. What it tells us here, it appears a little and then vanishes. That's our life. In the eternal perspective, it's just a vapor. And we don't know when that vapor is going to be gone, when it's going to dissipate, it's going to be gone. That is our life. We're in God's hands, and we may not have our life tomorrow. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I believe procrastination becomes sin. I'm not going to say it's always sin, but it becomes sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Time is unsure. Let's use it. Use the time as stewards that God expects us and how he expects us to use it. God bless you.